translation or translation of platform. First Canon, chapter 2, text number 23. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material world's creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefits from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord Shri Krishna, by His plenary parts, should be rendered devotional service as explained above. Is confirmed in this statement, Lord Krishna and all His plenary parts are Vishnu Tattva, or lordships of Godhead. From Sri Krishna, the next manifestation is Baladeva. From Baladeva is Sankarsana. From Sankarsana is Narayana. From Narayana there is a second Sankarsana. And from this Sankarsana, the Vishnu Purusha avatars. The Vishnu, or the deity of the quality of goodness, in the material world is a Purusha avatar known as Chirodakashayi Vishnu, or Paramatma. Brahma is the deity of Raja, passion, and Shiva, of ignorance. They are the three departmental heads of the three qualities of this material world. Creation is made possible by the goodness of Vishnu, and when it is required to be destroyed, Lord Shiva does it by his Tandava Nitya. The materialistics and the foolish human beings worship Brahma and Shiva respectively. But the pure transcendentalists worship the form of goodness, Vishnu, in his various forms. Vishnu is manifested by his millions and billions of integrated forms and separated forms. The integrated forms are called Godhead, and the separated forms are called the living entities, or the jivas. Both the jivas and Godhead have their original spiritual forms. Jivas are sometimes subjected to the control of the material energy, but the Vishnu forms are always controllers of this energy. When Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, appears in the material world, he comes to deliver the conditioned living beings who are under the material energy. Such living beings appear in the material world with intentions of being lords, and thus they become entrapped by the three modes of nature. As such, the living entities have to change their material coverings for undergoing different terms of imprisonment. The prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under the instruction of the personality of Godhead, and at the conclusion of a kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, who wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Lord Vishnu is worshipped by devotional service only, and if anyone has to continue prison life in the material world, he may ask for relative facilities for temporary relief from the different demigods like Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Varuna. No demigod, however, can release the imprisoned living entity from the conditioned life of material existence. This can be done only by Vishnu. Therefore, the ultimate benefit may be derived from Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. Om Gyana Tamirandasya Yunanjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Stapi Tamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Agnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savarutam Parijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Panchakalpa Truvischa Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namah. We've really seen the manifestation of that prayer this last few weeks. The Vaishnavas are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So they're going out, meeting them, smelling their whiskey breath or whatever, their cigarettes, getting insulted occasionally, but always being compassionate and trying to give them Krishna, which is the topmost compassion. Compassion is a very, very important thing to give back to Godhead. So here we're getting into all this description of Krishna and all the different incarnations. Of course, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. All these come from Krishna. Originally there's Krishna and he expands with Balaram. And then from Balaram comes all the others and gradually gets into the Vishnus of the material world and Brahma and Shiva. But ultimately it's all Krishna. So one who takes shelter of Krishna doesn't have to worry. And then we can get released from the prison house, or at least while we're still in the prison house, get a better facilities. The body is a prison for the soul, and the whole material world is like a prison. But it's such a good prison that people don't even know they're in prison. They think that they're liberated and free and can do whatever they want, right? They can go to Starbucks, or they can go to Nero, or they can go to Costa. They have so much freedom, right? that they have to go somewhere. They're forced to act helplessly by the modes of nature. So they're very foolish. But today is a Christmas day. That's supposed to be a religious holiday. I don't know if anybody thinks about that anymore. Maybe in some countries they have nice traditions. But Lord Jesus Christ, it's honoring his birth and appearance. And gradually it's, you know, changed. The original gift giving was a wise man that understood from the astrology that some great personality had appeared. So they brought gifts. And they brought incense and things like that. So that, you know, it's like we offer incense to Krishna. So that is supposed to be offering things to the Lord or to his representative. Gradually it's become you give gifts to everybody and more you're concerned about getting them. So Jesus, Prabhupada said, he was speaking at one Franciscan monastery. St. Francis is quite an amazing representative of Jesus. He tried to follow very strictly Jesus. He renounced everything. His father was very rich. He actually took off all his fancy clothes and gave them to his father and stood naked. So the bishop or somebody gave him some cloth. And then he was completely austere and got many people to join him and also give up like that. They all worked really hard. The monks had joined him because he was given some. He read the Bible somewhere and it said he shouldn't rebuild the church. So he was rebuilding one broken down church. But first they were building some kind of a shelter to live under. And just when they finished it, some dacoits came and kicked him out and took it. And the other monks were disturbed. And he said, "You should be happy that we provided something for these people." So, nice mentality, you know. And he said that the religion of the age is caroling. Caroling means going in the streets and singing the glories of God. He started that, actually. And people would throw things at him and insult him, and they would just keep singing. So we're doing that also. But Jesus Christ, most of the people that say they believe in Jesus, they don't know very much. Some people do. Some people really try to follow. But mostly there and trying to misuse his mercy. But he gave some famous teachings. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's quite interesting. And I'll just quote some of them and make a little comparison to the Bhagavatam. This particular time was the time when he supposedly distributed fish to all the people, and that's the only thing that most people know. They don't know what he taught, they don't care what he taught, you know. Or they don't understand it because people are misrepresenting. Radhana Swami told us yesterday, someone said there's 60 people in America that claim to be Jesus. They have followers, but there are probably many more. But then he said, in India, how many claim to be Krishna? So he says, blessed are the pure, poor in spirit. For those are they get the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, anybody know anything from the Bhagavatam that compares to that? Poor in spirit. So I'll tell you. It's Queen Kunti. It's a couple verses. John Maisvarya, Shuti Shibir, Idamana Madhapuman, Naivarhatya Vidatum Boy, Twam Akinchana Gochara. That means, Akinchana Gochara means one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man. Your lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. It doesn't mean you have to be poor, you know, like down and out, no money and sleeping on the street or something. But realize that there's nothing to be gained in the material world. It may be the richest man that realizes that. He's exhausted. Many rich people will say like that. So one who's on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, godly birth, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vittaye atmaramaya shantaya kaivalya vittaye namaha. Anybody ever study these Queen Kunti's verses? Prabhupada liked them very much. That's why we have that book. Prabhupada used to come to Los Angeles every winter and stay for a long time. And twice, wherever we were in the Bhagavatam, he went back to the prayers of Queen Kunti and lectured on us. That's why there's so many lectures. He really drove them. So then she says, my obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied. Therefore, you are the most gentle and the master of the monists. Purport says, a living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. Because you don't have anything. You can't really renounce what you don't have. The only thing we can renounce is the idea that we have something. Really. So a real renouncer, he may have many things. Like Yudhisthira had opulence that was bewildering to the demigods. But he didn't possess anything. He didn't feel like anything was his. Everything belonged to Krishna. And he didn't try to enjoy any of his opulence. He just did yogyas for the benefit of everyone. So that's that one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. What does meek mean? Humble. If we're humble, then we can chant all the time in a humble state of mind. And we see that the devotees that are very humble, they can distribute many books. They become powerful, actually, humility. Because they're just depending on Krishna. Prabhupada was asked, you know, what is humility? He said, when you know you have nothing else except Krishna to depend on. Nothing can help you, not your money, not your beauty, not your fame, or, you know, not your bodily strength, or not your position in society. Nothing can help you except Krishna. Then one is actually humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. That's kind of a heated one. This is from the internet. It has big explanations that are quite interesting to see how the real Christians think. Usually the ones that we meet on the street that want to talk, they're the fanatics. But there are many who really understand, and they appreciate devotees also. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Mercy is very important also. The Vaishnava is merciful. Panchakalpa Chubhi Strana Kripa Sindhavi Patitanam Pavani Hyo Vaishnavi Vyonamaha. He's very merciful, he's very kind. But what is he? That means he feels compassion for the people that are suffering. And a devotee really sees that everyone is suffering. Everybody naturally has some mercy in them. But in Kali Yuga, that quality is diminishing very much. So practically there's no mercy according to the Bhagavatam. But it does show up sometimes. I was in America a few years ago after that big hurricane, Katrina, you might have heard of that. So there was so much damage in New Orleans. The water was 18 feet deep in most of the city. And everywhere in America, people were just mobilizing to help the victims. I mean, they were really into it. You know, the churches, the little kids were out with buckets and the stoplights. And, you know, they had, you know, truckloads of food coming from all over the country and volunteer workers, and you know, everybody got so for a while, you know, until it calmed down, and then they get right back to their ordinary me. But when there's an emergency like that, it doesn't come out. So I was thinking, why can't I be like that? And Prabhupada was like that all the time. He was always seeing it, it's an emergency. Everybody is suffering. Everybody is rushing to hell. And the only hope is to spread Krishna consciousness. So he pushed like anything, and he published all his books, and he did so many things. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Where's that in the Bhagavatam? You better know now. Somebody better know that. Yeah. No, that's in the Gita. Okay. Pure in heart. Pure in heart. First verse. Janma Nishaya. No, what is the second verse? Maybe.
Second verse.
Yeah. Dharma Projita Kaita Gotra. Nirmat Saranam Sutam. Prabhupada, that means literally non envious. Nirmat Saranam. But Prabhupada translated pure in heart. This Bhagavatam is understood by those who are pure in heart. It kicks out all materially motivated religion. That means doing your religious, whatever your religion activities are, for material gain. Give me something, right? People worship. Most people are going to the church or the mosque or the temple for material gain. They want something. But that's good, that's pious. But it's not the highest thing. If we really want love of Krishna, then there has to be no enviousness, pure in heart, pure hearted, merciful, kind, compassionate. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. devotees are peacemakers, are trying to elevate people to the spiritual platform. We were talking yesterday how it's quite odd, right? Jainatai, how within religion sometimes people that have the same, apparently same religion, become enemies. Even in Vaishnava, it's completely against the scripture and against everything to become an enemy of anybody. Yudhisthira was, what's that word? Didn't have any enemies. Agatha Shatru doesn't have any enemies. The devotee doesn't have any enemies. He's Chitikshava Karunika. He's tolerant and merciful. So those are good qualities. So we're trying to help that. I mean, all these wars and everything, because people are angry, because they're envious, because they're lusty. So if we rise above that, then there can be peace. So, and Krishna was a peacemaker. He tried. Although Krishna actually wanted the battle of Kurukshetra, he made all kinds of efforts for peace. And Balaram wanted peace. He got fed up with all the quarreling, so he just left. Didn't participate. The peacemakers. So devotees are peacemakers. So they become thus the real sons of God. And the last one is, blessed are those who suffer persecution for sake of justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So that really means the preachers. Jesus also told his disciples to go and preach. And don't take any money, don't take any food with you. Just go and preach. And if people reject you, go to the next place. Don't be upset about it. The devotees are doing that for the most part. Going and preaching. And he said also that if someone rejects you in my name, you know, because you're preaching, that's no, don't be upset. If someone gets upset with you because you do nonsense, that's different. So same thing for us. Sometimes there was a time, I hope it's not anymore, when devotees thought, well, you can do anything for Krishna. You can cheat, you can rob, you can steal, you can do anything. Because it's for Krishna. And in the ultimate sense, you can do that. There were a bunch of devotees doing that in Japan. And Prabhupada kept telling them not to do it. But when someone criticized him, then he said, well, they're giving everything to Krishna. Although he told them, don't do that anymore. It's not good. It doesn't develop good qualities. You know, if you're just meditating on how to cheat people and how to then gradually forget Krishna completely. We want to become humble. So this comment that these people make is, as you read these Beatitudes, it's called the Beatitudes. Attitudes. Good attitudes. You might look into your own heart and examine your feelings. Are you trying to follow them? I think you will find out that you need a rather humble, almost childlike attitude towards each one of them if you are to be successful in following them. In fact, our Lord mentioned many times about how we need to become more like children in our attitude and our thinking towards many of the things in life. So these are two other things Jesus said. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you become, that means you become childlike, innocent. Innocent and trusting, you know, trusting God and feeling sheltered by God and like a child. Not childish. I want this, I didn't get that. You know, I didn't get my brother a better present than me for Christmas. Right? People, some boy came here the other day and he was telling me how he's screwed up from his childhood and how his mother, there was a big family and the youngest child was very deformed. and got all the attention in the family, and all the other kids, you know, always were really upset that why not me? And that's the problem. But a really nice child is happy. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humbles himself like this little child. There was some incident or pastime where a child came and gave him something very innocent. Prabhupada liked the children very much. And he liked his disciples. He said that he was learning from the disciples when they would be very submissive and very humble. So you can ask someone, if you meet a fanatic Christian, you can say, well, do you know these Beatitudes? It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Or do you know the Ten Commandments even? I heard in one country they did a survey of priests, and you know, very small percentage of them even knew the Ten Commandments. So how can you follow when you don't even know? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, that's from the Old Testament. So the Muslims, they supposedly go by the Old Testament. So they love their neighbor if he's a Muslim neighbor. But they don't love their Jewish neighbors. Or their Christian neighbors. Right? And the Christians may love their Christian neighbors. And then even they have to be in the, even like the Muslim neighbor can't be a different kind of Muslim. So Jesus, he said, it's easy to love your friends, to love your people that love you, but you should love your enemy. Doesn't mean anything that you love your children or you love your dog or something, you know. The people that love you, that doesn't require any spiritual advancement. Right? Everyone loves the people who love them, and they're getting something from them. But you should love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. Radhana Swami said, he said, according to Sachinandan Swami, Hitler considered himself an avatar of Jesus. And then somebody said, well, what about turning the other cheek and forgiving? Didn't pick up on that aspect. But we had a song we used to sing in Sunday school, learn, I want to be like Jesus. But, you know, we didn't know so much. Like, I thought when I had long hair, I was like Jesus. We all thought that, you know. Jesus had long hair, right? You know, the picture. So the hippies all had long hair. Like Jesus. Prabhupada was actually like Jesus, and that little child where he was staying when he first was in America called him Swami Jesus. And Prabhupada liked that. She's understanding, you know. So there's interesting, you know, lessons from Jesus' life. Many people say, you believe he died for your sins, but I told one, I said, well, I think he lived, you know, for a purpose of teaching people something. There was one story, a famous one, and it's a similar story in our Bhaktivedanta. He was alone somewhere, and there was a big, like a riot. So he said, what's going on? There was one woman, and the whole mob of people were chasing her and insulting her, and she was cornered somehow or other. He said, what's going on here? So they said, this woman is sinful. She's an adulteress, so we have to kill her. We're going to throw stones until she dies. And Jesus said, oh, all right. He said, whoever has not sinned can throw the first stone. And somehow or other he was such a person that they got worried, you know, that they better not goof off in front of him. So one by one they moved away. And so they just left this woman all alone. So she was thanking him. Oh, you saved me, you saved me. Thank you. So he said, go and sin no more. Very nice instruction. Right. Once I was distributing books in Australia, one fellow went by and he said, I'm a Christian. So I said, go and sin no more. There was an Indian guy. He said, I don't have to worry. He said, I have a good advocate, Jesus. So that's the sahaja that they take, that he get me off. You know, I can do anything, and he's like my lawyer, my friend, or my father, and he'll just say, God, you know, it's okay. This is my guy. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. It says there will be many people crying, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, who are you? They'll be gnashing of teeth. You know, when they're, the Yamadutas are coming and they're thinking, well, they didn't give up their sins. So it's a great personality. Prabhupada said he's a Shaktivesh avatar. So he's our guru. He told these Franciscan monks when they said, what do you think about Jesus? He said, he's our spiritual master. So they like them. Because those Franciscan monks, they're not quite like as strict as St. Francis. St. Francis, when people tried to worship him, he would say, wait till I die. Said, I could fall down anytime, you know, don't take a chance. Wait till I die. And he cried all the time, they said. And the doctors told him, you have to stop crying all the time. He's going blind. He said, I don't need eyes to see God. I don't need to do that. Lokeshwardas Babaji said that also. He was going blind, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur was trying to get him to go to Calcutta for a doctor. And he didn't want to go. And he said, my son will go with you. Don't worry, he'll take care of you. And he said, I'll never go to the mature world, Calcutta. And stay in my in the spiritual world. So in this one about blessed are the meek, or Trinada P, it says, what makes a person meek? They see God, and they see God in everything. No one can become meek unless they see the infinite, personal, almighty, all-wise, all-holy God. And when they see God, they're immediately humbled. So that's real humility, is when you take complete shelter of Krishna. And realize sometimes we can become a little humble just by seeing the miraculous activities of the devotees of Krishna, when they're empowered by Krishna. But even the more we try to do for Krishna, the more we can realize that we're not the doers, and Krishna is really doing it. That we have to take shelter of Krishna. When we're hearing this, all of the Sankirtan devotees in that book, and they're all saying like that. So, you know, the book distribution, you have to take shelter of Krishna to preach. So that's described as Atma Nivedana, the nine processes of devotional service. Prabhupada says the Atma Nivedana means giving up everything. And that means preaching. You're using everything. You're using your brain, using your tongue, using everything for Krishna. And that's real humility. So even a devotee may go out preaching, he may be apparently aggressive, but that's actually humility, because he's doing it for Krishna, depending on Krishna. Arjuna was completely humble. He was fighting so powerfully. So we can try to remember these saintly people. Of course, Prabhupada very kindly came and stayed many years with us and exhibited his preaching and all, you know, how he dealt with everything and very closely, and was recorded. You know, he was very careful to actually record his words from the very beginning. The first thing he bought in America was a recording machine. Make sure that they recorded all the classes so it could be preserved, and then he gave all his books. So we really know for sure what Prabhupada said and what he did and every circumstance. So it's important to study Prabhupada's life and activities. And then we see so many of his followers, all of you, doing miraculous things, especially yesterday in the book distribution. Rohini Sutta Prabhu said long ago that one book distributed, every book distributed, is a miracle. That we go out into these kind of places where, you know, there may be one, I don't know, I've heard a couple of times. One time I remember sure we met a guy that he had just been in the bookstore looking for the Bhagavad Gita. You know, but how many people like that? Right? A few people said, oh yeah, I wanted this book, but you know, they weren't thinking about it until they met the devotee. Mother Gauri, who was the biggest book distributor in her day, she said, nobody's ever interested. She said, I have to make them interested. You have to charm them. And she said she sees them all like little children. She was very motherly, and she would treat everybody like a child, and everybody would take books. So, and I just show you, somebody sent some pictures of Jagatoka Maharaj now that he's in the Bhaktivedanta hospital. He's very happy there. Because it's the Jagannath temple there. And Jagannath goes out every day and goes to every room. They take me on. They take him on a Ratha Yatra every day. Visit all the patients. So he liked that. So there's three pictures. And it can give us great hope that there are lots of miracles when Krishna wants. That's the first one. That's in a little temple, a very small temple room in the hospital. So he's worshiping our Jagannath. It looks like they brought Jagannath out into the, yeah, they brought him out into the lobby. And that's, the lobby of that hospital has a big Prabhupada Murti, the first thing you see when you go in. Prabhupada, very beautiful lobby, and so everybody gets a lot of benediction when they go into that hospital. So the devotees who are doing the Sankirtan, and the people ask us, do you celebrate Krishna? So we celebrate probably more than anybody the whole month, right? And we're in the real Krishna spirit, which is giving. Because when we're giving books to people, you're giving those people to Krishna. And we're giving them Krishna, we're offering them to Krishna, we're connecting them with Krishna. So, and Krishna likes that very much. That's the best gift you can give him. We want to offer nice food stuff to Krishna, nice flowers and incense and all those things, but the best thing is when it comes along with people. His face is just kind of starting to work again. So he's quite serious looking. Now, this case will go in medical books historically, yes. I don't know how they're going to describe it, but, you know, they say it never happened before that anyone survived such a thing. And normally, when someone has a stroke, they'll be paralyzed to some extent, but he's not. And it was a most serious stroke. That, so Krishna has his way of showing us many things, how merciful he is. That one looks quite serious. He wrote that he's very happy there because there's a Jagannath temple. And he's working to find his way out so he can get back to preaching. But he's doing big preaching in that condition because so many people chanting and, you know, praying like anything. And we're also, like I described, that when there's some kind of emergency, the love and compassion and all that, the focus on caring about others and not caring about ourselves so much. But that's what the Sankirtan is all about. Yesterday, I heard like maybe a narrator saying that sometimes the devotees will say, well, these Sankirtan devotees are too rough and ill behaved, and they come in and they have such a loud kirtan, and, you know, they think they are, you know, and they eat so much, and, you know, and then they just rush out the door and they don't even talk to anybody. But actually, then he was saying how when they're out there, they have to be such gentlemen, and they really are that. That's just spiritual enthusiasm. Here, everybody is caught up in fire and wanting to rush out and join in all the fun. And this is our constant activity, is to just try to reach out and meet people. And that there's so many ways to advertise, but the most effective is one-on-one, when devotees meet people and people see devotees. People pass by and they meet devotees, they see devotees. That's very powerful. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. That one, even a moment, not even a moment, that Lava Matra, it's just some 1/13th of a second or something. Even that much association with the devotee is the perfection of all perfections, and that's declared by all scriptures. Lord Chaitanya said that too. It's almost the first thing he said to Sanatana Goswami, right in the first couple of lessons. The essence, sadhu sangha, sarvasha, siddhi, sastakoi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. And then he said, asat sangha, taga, vaishnavachar, give up asat, temporary, mundane, material activities, and take up Vaishnava activities. What are Vaishnava activities? Is that all you know? Don't you know anything else? Right. You know, what is with you guys? You don't know anything else. It should be that we don't know anything else. That would be ideal, that we just don't know anything else. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And, you know, we get more people saying it. If we ask everybody to say Hare Krishna, then they become very happy when they say Hare Krishna. And they'll go away, chanting and remember it. Because it's catchy when they hear the Hare Nam, when they hear the holy name. And when they get books, they get so much mercy, they're getting Krishna. So I thank you all very much for allowing me to hang around and see so much book distribution and so many devotees so ecstatic. And I thought it was very interesting to note that Vrindavan and Bhakta Boon and Uddhava Damodar are going out dressed funny and doing the biggest trend amongst the men. Yeah. So people like that, they get purified by seeing a devotee. Even they just see Tilak. There's all kinds of descriptions of how powerful that is to give liberation and everything. So even if we don't know how to preach or do anything, if we just have that, it can help people. So remember this, that Krishna is indirectly associated with the three modes of nature, but he's beyond them. And he tells Arjuna, Triguna Vishaya Veda. The Vedas deal with mostly the three modes of internal nature. But, what did he say? Nishtaigunya Vavarjuna. What does that mean?
Rise
above these modes. And how do you do that? Think of me in your heart, right? Or something like that. I don't know the rest of the
sentence. Speak with more generalities to gain safety and be established in the self.
Yeah. All right. So, and think of Krishna in everyone's heart. And the reason so many people take books is because Krishna in their heart was so happy to see you out there trying to give them a book that he inspires them. And they don't know why they took it, many people. They were just pulled out from the modes of nature for a few minutes. And the Krishna in the heart just said, that's how it works. Krishna, and Prabhupada said one time, he said that Krishna's in the heart, and he's always telling everyone, please, my dear soul, why are you doing this? Why are you just going to hell? Why are you doing all these sorts of things? Please stop. And they don't listen. But then when they meet a devotee, Prabhupada said, Krishna goes, he's hearing about me. And Krishna in the heart is very happy to see the devotee trying to help these people. So that, that's mercy. It's the topmost gift you can give anyone is Krishna. And the topmost gift we can give Krishna is to give ourselves and then try to bring other people to Krishna's lotus feet. It's for their own benefit. So, we'll stop. We have a little, everybody's off today, right? London is no transportation. So you're all stuck here unless you have a walk or you have a car.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. I'll be leaving tomorrow, so. I meant to stay one more day, but there was a miscommunication and such, and made the flight for tomorrow. So. In the morning. Well, flight's at 1 o'clock. Not so bad. Anyway, it was very merciful for me to be here for my sake. I always try to tell everybody that this temple is very wonderful and you should come here. And has one of the better japa periods in the world, in my experience. Chobani is also like a few temples, where everybody stays in. And everybody's chanting with the idea to get out and distribute. So that's a very intense, not chanting just for our own benefit, but chanting for the sake of all the conditioned souls. And the preaching spirit is not dead, it's very much alive. And that's, Bhaktisiddhanta said, anyone who has life can preach. Until you're dead, somehow or other preach. And a devotee, even when he's dead, then people will be remembering devotional activities, and that will also be preached. Okay, so thank you all very much. And if anybody was interested, I could give a little seminar and some time on forgiveness and compassion. They're two very important things. I have a lot of stuff I researched. Wouldn't take very long. So if you want to set that up. All right, so now we have the really ecstatic part. All right?
Yahweh.